this life, gotta make your own deals, chase your own thrills, pay your own bills. On the outer loop, sitting on chrome wheels, phone synced up to the newest chrome bills. On air, who cares if it's right or wrong? I just care which guests they invited on. Without a minute to stall, and there was liquor involved with some hype songs. And the night is young, right on cue, the talking begins. And we check out what Steve Bills got on the blends. A bit grimy, a backdrop from the late 80s to the mid 90s, till it finally takes us to a rhythm that works. And K-Chrome spits a verse that he didn't rehearse. Both flex skills, proving it's all in. So gather round for the newest installment, Chrome Bills. Episode number 7. 50, motherfucker.
The ketchup episode.
The mustard episode.
The Heinz 57 episode.
The Dijonnaise episode.
The barbecue sauce episode.
The honey mustard episode.
The water episode.
The Taco Bell fire sauce episode.
Do love some fire sauce.
The buttermilk ranch episode.
Where'd you get this instrumental? This is the premiere joint on the new Dilated album, right?
Yeah. Primo hit me up with an advanced copy.
Nice. That's right. Actually, Dilated Peoples is probably one of those groups that's still putting out wax that has instrumentals and acapellas on it. Actually, this segues perfectly into what... perfectly into what I wanted to talk about today. Okay. It's 2014, all right? It's, middle to late August. And I was thinking about it today. I wanted to kind of give like a State of the Union sort of thing for the year.
Yep.
I want to list the albums specifically for rap, although I might have thrown one or two in this list, but specifically for rap that I've listened to at least once all the way through and enjoyed that have come out this year.
Do it.
All right. And you guys can let me know whether or not you've even heard them. But I'll rifle through them and then let me know what jumps out.
We got Best of Different Styles. Heard it.
We got Apathy, Apollo Brown, Atmosphere, Common, Cormega, Dilated Peoples, J-Live. I threw Jack White on there. Mayhem Loren, Open Mike Eagle, People Under the Stairs, Pharaoh Monch, The Roots, Schoolboy Q. Like, if you went on a road trip and that was the... Let's go back to the days of CDs. And someone had one of the little sleeves with, like, 18 CDs in it.
Right.
You'd be pretty much set for the weekend with that list. You don't even have to go back to 2013.
I missed doing this, so I'm just going to hit it as many times as he said.
Who are you? I think that... One more.
You missed Schoolboy Q. I also want to throw Lana Del Rey on there because her new album is fucking awesome. Who are
you? You know, the ones that you keep throwing on here, I'm shaking my head.
Which ones?
Lana Del Rey and Jack White. I just don't.
Have you listened to the Jack White album all the way through?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it's amazing, dude. It's amazing.
Is it amazing?
Wow. Why are you hating?
I'm just fucking around.
Okay.
We also missed Black Milk put out an album.
Oh, good
this
point.
Year. Who the fuck else?
God damn it.
Freddie Gibbs. The Freddie Gibbs Madlib album.
Actually, I'm kind of disappointed that you guys forgot about this crew because if that means that the marketing hasn't been working.
Right.
Fat Vampires of Different Styles.
The Fat Vampires.
They're just like, what's popular right now? Being fat and being a vampire.
You don't think skinny vampires are winning right now?
Nah.
I think fat vampires in skinny jeans is what's
fat
really
vampires in
right
skinny
now.
Jeans. We have a winner.
Or just fat people in skinny jeans.
Fat people in skinny jeans.
You see that very frequently.
I was watching a TV show with a friend and it was about vampires. Uh-huh. And my friend just blurted out, "Do you wonder if any vampires get fat?" And I just started laughing my ass off. I was like, "That's a great question. Is blood fattening? It can't be good for you."
It's higher than...
It's Hiron. I like it. Fat vampires in skinny jeans.
All right.
Nice. Now, can we go back to that list and you guys give me favorite one or two album of the year so far?
I'm definitely going with Atmosphere. Southsiders.
Who are you?
Whole Southside.
Bye.
The Pharaoh Monch for me has been a winner. And this Cormega album's growing on me.
Okay.
It really has.
I do. Yeah. I don't want to, you know, Telltale's out of school, but we may or may not be having one of the members from Atmosphere in a future episode in September.
Really?
Yeah, I just want to tease that a little bit.
There's only two members, right?
Right. I'm not going to tell you which one, but I talked to one of them today.
Okay.
Signed on, gave me the date, the time.
Tweeting at him doesn't count.
Yeah, but I think we've also learned that, you know, sometimes I think we've also learned that sometimes people will say they're interested in doing an interview.
Right.
And you know, then when it comes time to do
what?
It, they might not
that
actually do it.
That fucking drives me crazy.
And then when they actually listen to our show, they decide this is not a good look.
Mm-hmm. Well, in all fairness,
yes.
If we had scheduled to do this and then you guys started texting me, and I was sitting in the back of a limousine. Right. Not just in a limousine, but the back of the limousine.
With Ellen DeGeneres.
As opposed to what? Riding with the driver?
Underneath it. Holding on to the muffler. If I was riding in the back.
Driving the limousine.
If I was riding in the back.
Uh-huh.
Drinking out of a tiny keg.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure how much of a commitment you'd get from me.
I would definitely cancel on us.
Tiny kegs.
I would cancel on
tiny
us, too.
Kegs.
So tiny keg or champagne out of a teacup?
I'm not mad.
If you had to, if you had to do one or the other.
If you're getting Ellen DeGeneres money, you don't need to be hanging out with us.
They do get paid to appear on that, right?
I don't know.
What do you mean they? Chuck, what was your favorite album?
What do you mean by they?
I'm actually going to...
Chuck, can you go through that list one time slower for me?
By the way, I'm going to give mine, and I'm not even going to do this to spite Steve.
Yeah.
The Pharaoh Monch is one, but the Jack White album is better than the Pharaoh album.
Okay. All right.
All right, I'm going to go through it a little slower. Apathy. The album is dope as shit.
Didn't hear
Apollo. Write these down while you do them.
So, Apathy.
All right. Spelled with a Z, right?
How?
Demi gods.
Right. Apathy.
Apollo Brown.
Didn't hear it.
I actually did hear that one. Is that what's the name of that one?
It's instrumental.
Yeah.
38 special maybe.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I pulled something up.
I have it. Oh. I have it on my phone. I could check.
How about Japan Droids? I actually said this the other.
It's just called 38. The Apollo Brown album.
Cellophane. Learn the meaning. Shotguns in hell. Dirt on the ground. It's good. It's really dope.
Is
it was a
rap,
couple.
Is this a rap album?
It's a instrumental album.
Okay.
It's really dope. I remember listening to it driving around, and it had me open.
Speaking of instrumentals, remind me to go back to a bit coming up later in the show, shows I'm not going to miss this week. We'll talk about that coming up.
Okay.
But all right, so we had Apathy, Apollo Brown, Atmosphere.
Do you have these in alphabetical order?
They are in alphabetical order.
Good,
that's
man.
Dope. That's dope.
Good, man.
Just because I read it off what I downloaded from Spotify. Sponsor of the show, Spotify. Common. Now, the Common album, you guys listened to it all the way through? I actually don't like it that much, but that Rewind It track that we played a couple episodes back is fucking really, really dope. You know, I mean, I know we were having jokes about how we had a crib together. It's me and Cole. We're splitting a pack of cigarettes. I'll take 10. You take 10. Hey, yo.
I saw my man in the shower by accident. What?
Did you guys listen to that album?
It was a heartfelt
though?
Track. I did go through it all the way.
Something got felt.
I don't know. It felt like it was all over the place to me, you know, with concepts, beats.
That sounds like a different styles little crew. All over the place.
All over the place. I like that.
But the Rewind That song was extra dope.
Cormega, you know, I'm coming around on two. I think when we were talking last week, I said it's a lot to digest at one time, but I was like listening to it while trying to do work. But now that I've been listening to it, like walking and commuting,
and he gets a lot of points.
Dope record
for just being surprising, you know, because I just was not expecting something like that from him.
Okay,
you know,
and I like that it's like a record that has the type of production when people say they like '90s rap.
Yeah,
you know, it like it falls into that without feeling like a dated. You know, it is. It's very sharp, like sonically.
Yep.
I feel like it's like if you saw someone cooking something and they were using like six ingredients and one or two of them are just like, man, that shit, you know, that used to be kind of dope. And then when the meal came together, it hit pretty hard. I feel like that's what the Cormega album is like.
Huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I call that the bacon backlash. Like bacon. I think all of a sudden with chefs have been like, dude, everyone uses bacon, like it's unfair. But then it's like you get a meal and it has bacon in it. You're like, yeah, but this shit's still really fucking good.
Right.
Bacon's like, that's cheating when you cook.
You asshole, you put bacon in the ice cream.
That's Steve
so
with
good.
The bacon backlash right there.
It
you
is.
You
it's
hear
fucking,
him?
It's
you
cheating, him? Man. Everything's going to be good.
Don't cheat. Don't cheat your taste buds.
All right.
What's up? We got D. We got to be coming up on different
D,
styles.
Motherfucker, D.
D. Dilated. Yo, okay. I want to say this because it made me think back to the platform. Like, Dilated is such like a rap group that just deserves to exist. Because while I think that the group's weakest link is that I don't particularly think those guys are the greatest MCs, but I think they're good. I think production-wise, not only are the individual beats good, but if you were at like a barbecue or a party, you could fucking put that album on and let it ride. You know, like there's no duds. And then they're actually still not just having cuts, but using one of like, I don't know, the 10 or 20 best DJs, if not higher than that.
I would agree
with
you.
That's out right now.
10 or 20 best DJs, yeah.
Right, like he's in that range. Is he in your 13 through 18?
He would be in top 20 DJ for me.
And I'll say, seeing them live, I feel like a lot of times they would make their music with performing it live in mind.
Yeah.
So they weren't trying to be lyrical, miracle, spherical.
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 Nobody ever says spherical when they do that lyrical. Not,
you're the first.
All right.
Who do you think is the better MC between the two of them? Just out of curiosity. Between Evidence and Rocka Ira Science.
You know, I always remember Evidence's lines. Mm-hmm. You know?
Because they make you angry?
Because they really piss me off. No, I just know that his stand out. Like, they're punchlines, and you're like, okay, maybe I don't understand that, but I remember it.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I always break down MCs into three categories. Okay. Voice, delivery, content. Mm-hmm. Evidence has a great voice, delivery, content I could do without, which is odd to me because I feel like delivery for somebody who makes such amazing beats, he'd be a little bit more locked in. It's not like he's off beat, but I would think he would do more with it. And then Ira Science, I feel like his voice, delivery and content, I think he's always pretty dope.
Okay.
Can I mention something too now that we're on the D's?
You're gonna try to edit this out now?
Well, no. Remember the Defy album? What was the first one? It was like with the Lakers colors.
Oh, it's called it's like a one word album, or it's called the something.
Why do I want to say like liquidation or like?
I was still gonna say the Pacific, but that's.
I mean,
not
he
right.
was down with the no. It's not the Unassisted because that's Rasko.
That's Rasko.
Well,
you can't tell me that Defari and Rasko aren't the same person.
Like, well, here's the thing. Well, Defari, like the beats on that album. Uh-huh. If we can't like the
liquid,
instrumental,
it wasn't like Liquid Junkie or something like that.
No,
Focus Daily.
Focus Daily. Dog, I swear to God, I'll put that album up beat for beat, instrumental wise, against any album that you can find.
What?
Maybe not something like Illmatic or Hard to Earn, but like I'd say it's pretty up there.
Really.
But I just remember hearing too, I was like, how do they hear Defy rap like this? And you're fucking ruining this.
Yo,
you ruined it.
I would be the first to admit that. I've never listened to that album before.
Really? I'm telling you, the beats are, they're going to knock your socks off.
My socks?
Yeah. Whoa, your socks just went across the room.
It's my boy Socks Off right here.
Socks Off. Sorry, Chuck. What do you got next?
I like interrupting Chuck.
It's payback for episodes 14 through 30. Well, I do notice that you guys will cut me off and I'll be listening. I'm like, yo, maybe it's not all on me.
Well, I feel like, and we'll get into this a little bit later. Chuck graced us with his presence in town. We rolled out the red carpet. There's still rose petals I see laying on the ground.
Yep. It felt
Chuck
good.
Was. What's that?
Yep.
I said it felt good.
To be in the basement with the two of us. Shish kebab. No, but so I noticed when Chuck was here, it was like there. You know, I think we even talked about this in person. While
Spit
I was like,
out.
You can just sort of tell. When you're sitting next to someone, like their vibe and energy changes, like when they're about to talk or when they have a point to make. When Chuck, and again for the listeners who aren't aware of this, Chuck is actually he lives on the moon now. He and his lovely girlfriend, they inhabit the moon by themselves, and he still finds time to hit us up on GChat. What we're doing is pretty complicated. And I think anytime there's interruptions and stuff like that, it's not a personality flaw. It's the circumstances that we're in. And we're doing the best that we can.
I also think it's funny that sometimes I just want to pepper the background. Like right there, I was like, it felt good. And then you guys like both stopped. Whereas like that could have just floated. You could have kept going, you know, and I'm just like, it felt good to be back. But it did. I will recap. It felt amazing to do the podcast there. Made me realize that was one of the biggest things I've been missing since moving. And then it was awesome to
my dick. Oh,
you know, to catch up with everyone. Whoa, Jesus!
Whoa, he just.
You'll get it on the playback. No, dude, the sentiment is the same. I mean, it was. I feel like when you're here, Steve puts on the air conditioner so it's not so fucking sweltering down here.
I noticed like dusty benches wasn't even there. I feel like maybe things have been cleaned up a little bit. By the way, do we have different styles names for today when we finish this list?
Well, let me say this.
Coming up.
I do want to say this too. Chuck, I think it's awesome you're doing what you're doing. I mean, you've made a move I would never have the balls to make. I think it's awesome that like your life's going the direction that it is. It was great to see you. It was great to have you here. Every time I'm around you physically, I remember how fun it is to hang out with you. You know what I mean?
He's a very charismatic character. You know?
Chuck is a fun guy.
Definitely.
And Steve, I think if you listen to there's going to be a bonus freestyle that comes out from the time we were there, from episode 56A, I guess it'll be called.
Yeah.
After the Dan Leroy interview.
And shouts to Dan
Steve,
Leroy.
Steve, during the freestyle, I remember this, accuses me of looking too deep into his eyes.
That did happen.
He said, why are you trying to look so deep in my eyes? It's like you're staring at my soul. I don't even know.
It got weird. At one point, they locked eyes.
Yeah. Shot some magnetic cat owner beams out of my eyes. You know, something we share together.
I do have a new different styles member. He's a veteran of the game. He's been in it for a minute. He shows up. You never know where his elbows are going to come flying from. So you got to keep your eyes out.
All right.
My man, old man game.
Ah.
Everybody who's played pickup ball knows the old man. He's got the game. You couldn't even slip a credit card underneath him when he shoots a jumper. Wet all day.
Sweaty McJump Shot.
Sweaty McJump Shot. Mm-hmm.
Look out for that first single. It's called Setting Screens. with the B-sides called Sharpen Those Elbows. It's a homage to Ludacris.
Produced by Paul Wall.
Did we get
Setting Screens?
Did we get into my man, the first mute MC? Did I bring this guy up last week?
I don't think so.
The first mute MC ever. His name is Speechless. His album is called Got a Lot to Say.
It's an album with speech from Arrested Development.
The weirdest thing happened when they were at the duplication plant where they're impressing up the CDs. Uh-huh. His vocals got erased, so it's only the instrumental version of the album.
Nice.
Check for that, though. It's dope.
Definitely.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I did go back. I was looking at your old man game. I've got the 12-inch here, actually, because a lot of the promo stuff is coming to Chrome Bills North. And it says it's actually produced entirely by Goodwill Made It. Have you heard of this guy?
On the reels. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's keep flying through this list. We got the Dilated. J Live.
Flying through the list.
J Live. Album definitely went through a couple spins. Some cool features on there. There's a great Homeboy Sandman feature. Interesting production. You know, you guys check that one?
I'm embarrassed to say that I really didn't fucking check that one out. And I've been meaning to check it out. I feel guilty.
I was thinking about this. I listened to the, and I know we'll get to it down the list, the Pharoah Monch album.
Okay, we're talking about J Live right now.
Right. My point being that, like, when I hear Chuck say, like, it's not the first time I'd heard that he put out a new album this year. I get everything off Spotify. If I really like something, I really feel like somebody put everything into it, then I go buy it.
Uh-huh.
I feel like, I remember listening to PTSD, I was like, all right, cool. Like, I never went back and listened to it. And enough people have told me that I was sleeping on it.
Definitely.
When did the J Live album come out? Was it, like, April?
Yeah,
I was going to guess April, yeah.
Yeah, like March or April.
Because I know he plays, there's some homies up in Albany throw an event called the Beach Shot Festival.
Okay.
The guy who puts it together is named True Master, and he's J Live's tour DJ when J Live goes to Europe.
Okay.
When I was up there in April for the Giant Gorilla Dog Thing album release party, I was talking to him, and he was like, yeah, he's coming down this summer, or he's going to come up here this summer. He's got a new album and everything. I remember listening to it once, and I don't even think I disliked it. I was like, I have 1,000 emails now to check, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately, great stuff, you know, it gets missed because you're getting barraged by so much shit all the time.
Plus, you don't get the physical copy of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I really miss that.
Well, Chuck, to even echo the point, right, is off of this list, I didn't even include Black Milk or Freddie Gibbs because that's a total indictment of the fact that I haven't checked either of those albums in depth.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure they're good, you know? Like,
yeah, the Black Milk album is super cool, you know? I mean, Gibbs, the beats are fantastic, but,
something. We stay dumping. He has one jam on there that gets me open.
If you're not into, like, sometimes you got to be in the right mood to listen to a full album of gangster rap, 20 songs of, you know, getting threatened.
There's a lot of instrumental stuff on there, though, right?
you know, Madlib puts all his interludes and stuff like that on most of his albums.
Okay. So. Are you talking about Freddie Gibbs?
Yeah, Freddie Gibbs.
I was talking the Black Milk album.
Same thing.
There's
some instrumental joints on there.
Okay. What about the Speechless album?
Speech from Arrested Development and Speechless. They have an album coming out called You Go First.
Speeches and Peaches.
I thought it was called One Sided Conversation.
Or You Go First.
No, it would be called Speech Impediment.
Yeah.
And then actually, Speechless remixed the famous song Please Don't Curse.
Uh-huh.
And he just writes down, "Don't worry."
Featuring Mr. Lisp.
Mr. Lisp in the house.
All right.
All right, keeping it moving. I just have to bring up the Jack
Chuck,
White.
Well, I want to ask you about the J Live album. What did you think of it?
I like it. I think it's one of those albums. I will say this: that it starts as a certain amount of tracks, and then as you become more familiar with it, you kind of get into. Like if I put it on now, I would just play 7 joints instead of the 12 or 13 that are on it. But
let me ask you this: is there a song on there like? Called maybe it's a title track, Around the Sun, where he's actually breaking down like some astrological things.
Like there's something like that. There's a cool ass song that comes to mind called Top of the Food Chain.
Okay.
And then there's something called Saying Shit that's like a story that's pretty fucking cool.
Okay.
He's always got it kind of like a way of having a commentary on the state of hip hop without it sounding cheesy. You know, it's like. I feel like he's one of the elder statesmen who's like been in it for a while. Who's, you know, it's not like, in fairness, like I think Cole and I are great rappers, but like to us have commentary when we don't have just the track record of like working with Premier and stuff like that. Like J Live is allowed to sit atop now, regardless of record sales, and kind of call shots and pick his spots. And I grant him that. I'll allow it.
And he's one of the first dudes, I remember he and Edan were the first two people I'd seen do this, where they would rap while mixing a beat using 2 turntables.
Juggling and rapping at the same time.
Very impressive.
Yep.
I would stand there and I would say, well done, sir. Well done.
The difference being J Live had a mic stand where Edan
would use his hand.
He had the mic in one hand and did it with the other.
Would flip it in
whereas
the other.
Whereas J Live, he had the mic stand and he would do 2 hands.
Edan, former guest. Do you remember what episode is it? Somewhere
30,
in the 30s?
30.
30.
I think it's 30. Dead on 30, yeah.
Dead on 30.
Okay.
So
I just want to go to Jack White, though. I want to talk about Steve. Do you have a Jack White thing the way you have kind of like a Sublime thing? Because I noticed you had an opinion about the album without listening to it.
Yeah, I don't know. I do. I have preconceived notions about it.
You don't like that's different styles. Remember Preconceived Notions?
Jack White. Okay, what's the name of the album, Chuck?
It's called Lazaretto.
Lazaretto. Okay, it's a rock and roll album.
It's not hip-hop, it's all over the place. He raps on a couple songs, and I would say rap in like the somewhere between the Bob Dylan sort of speak song stuff.
Okay.
But I mean, he's working on an album with Black Milk right now called Black and White because they're both from Detroit. So you can sort of see the influence of that coming over. And in the way that I feel like rap people are always able to listen to, like RJD2 or Thievery Corporation or something like that, there's a very like 100 beats per minute kind of boom, boom, clap, da boom, da boom, clap feel to like half the album.
Okay.
There is a movie, it's a documentary where it's Jack White, Jimmy Page, and then the dude from U2.
The Edge.
I think. And it's the three of them just like basically talking shop about playing guitar. Okay. It opens up with Jack White literally making like a guitar out of, he's like shaving wood. You know what I mean? Like he like breaks off like a tree branch or something. What's the name? I can't remember the name of the movie. This shit's incredible. He's super talented.
He's making a guitar out of he takes out a tree and makes a guitar out of it.
I'm not making this shit up.
Okay.
The opening scene, you're like, what is going on? And it's like somebody like shaving down wood.
Yeah.
And then like he eventually strings it and like runs some electricity through it.
Okay.
It's
That's
crazy.
Cool, though. Yeah. My grandfather actually made a guitar.
Did he really?
Yep.
I want to shout out a friend of the
shout
show.
Out my grandfather.
Chris Sunloff, guy I've known for probably almost 10 years now. Sundloff. Finally, he's been making guitars for a while, amazing ones, and he's finally launched a full-on company. So if you Google Sunloft Guitars,
fuck yeah.
He's sponsoring a couple groups. Actually, one of them is in New York called the Soho Kings.
Okay.
Shout out to Chris Sunloft.
And I know they use his stuff. So Chris Sunloft, also a fan of my early music, and I know a fan of Educated Consumers as well.
What's the company he's running again called?
It's called Sundlof Guitars. S-U-N-D-L-O-F.
Awesome.
Doing it big.
The name of the documentary I was talking about is called It Might Get Loud.
Okay.
From 2008.
That's right. Yep.
I'll check it out.
I definitely recommend
it. I will reserve
it.
All my judgment until after I watch that documentary.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When you, we got you, this is another thing we should probably bring back.
Oh,
Steve's
boy.
Level of hate. I think we got to like 6.5, 7 when Chuck mentioned Jack White. Now, was that because it's Jack White, or was
know.
That because it's not a rap album?
Do you know
album?
That you just have, well, yeah, it was because, number one, because it wasn't a rap album.
Okay. Okay.
You know? And then number two, I just reserve the right to hate
for
no reason.
You don't like him at all.
No, I don't know. I'm just, I just have a preconceived notion. That's all.
Why is this? Is it? I'm gonna guess why.
I think we're.
I'm gonna guess why.
I think we're. I think we're diving way into it. Do you want?
I'm gonna say that you think that Seven Nation Army got played
I'm
out.
So,
so
sick
therefore,
of that song.
Okay.
So therefore, the rest of his catalog is now not worth checking out.
I hope you're paying Chuck for the psychoanalysis because he nailed it.
I'm so
but
sick.
But
of
would
that
you
goddamn
stop
song.
Listening to Mac Lethal just because you got tired of the Hangover song?
Oh, I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't. Don't judge him by the Hangover song.
Well, then don't judge Jack White by it. Seven Nation Army, which, by the way, is actually a really cool song the very first
cool
time
song.
You hear it.
It is
it just,
a cool song.
I've just heard it. It's now become a soccer chant.
No, no. It's all. It's
well,
every
now
football,
I hate it.
It's every football team.
The Ravens.
It.
Like, what does he have to do with Baltimore?
Nothing.
Why
like, if the Lions did it?
It,
that would be cool. I agree
Dude,
with that.
It's,
yeah.
It's not just the Ravens.
Yeah.
It's fucking everybody. College, yeah. High school football teams.
Miami Heat.
Yeah.
Fucking bandwagon.
That's
I feel like it's only Herb-ass crowds that have done it.
No, I bet
Chrome Bills. Think,
boom, I bet they play in the Yankees, boom, boom, like Yankee Stadium. They're probably playing Chrome that song. Bills.
Okay, I don't know,
I'm
man.
I'm sure.
Why does Steve hate Jack White? I want
it's
that to be the episode
It's because
title.
Of Seven Nation Army.
Chuck that's nailed why. It. Right. Chuck nailed
Didn't
Steve.
Nail I'm gonna.
But if,
I'm gonna
I, but if
fly.
I do find something in that documentary to pick apart,
I'm
I
telling you,
that.
The opening scene uh-huh. where this motherfucker breaks, he turns a tree into a guitar.
Like he
turning
he
trees
no, no,
to guitars.
Turning like, trees.
That might be an episode name right there.
He tames a beaver and then it instructs it to carve a guitar out of a piece of wood.
Get.
Mm.
This is my friend, Little Beaver. Now chew, my friend. Okay.
Well, did anybody ever figure out if Meg White was his sister or lover or both? What was the story behind
it? He had sex with his sister?
Well, here's the thing. Like, you know how, so the White Stripes was just two people. It was him and Meg White, who was an awful drummer.
She was.
It was so odd that it was like this fucking, what do you call it when someone's like super good at something?
He was savant?
He was, well, not, well, savant would indicate, yeah, well, idiot savant, I guess, is.
He was a guitar.
An association.
He was a. I like that we're getting old.
Maestro?
No.
No, what do you call it?
Prodigy.
Prodigy.
Yeah,
I'm going with Chuck. Prodigy is where I was thinking, I think.
So the fact that he was contrasted
Mercurial
by this
enigma.
Person, the fact that he was contrasted by someone who could barely hold like a rhythm, it was like, why is she there? And then all these rumors started to float around. I was like, it's his sister. It's his wife. I don't think anybody ever figured it out. I don't think they know.
This can be easily solved.
Google.
All right.
Friend
anyways,
of the show.
Just
friend of the show.
Flying
Google.
At light speed through this list.
I think it's right. It's more that you're unhappy with the list as a whole.
I like the list.
All right. So we're almost to the letter L. Do you want to play a song and then maybe come back and honor?
Let's do that.
You got some 2014 music queued up, right?
Hell
what
yeah.
What you got over there? You got that Cormega joint?
I want to listen to the Cormega joint and hear what you got. I want to know what you guys think of it. There's a couple really nice punchlines in this.
All right, so take us into that. We'll be back with letters L through Z on the 2014 report card. This is Chrome Bills, episode 57.
Word. This is a track called Industry off the new Cormega Mega Philosophy album.
Chrome Bills! I like that.
Listen
when
to
say
me good.
To me good. Like it's the Cormega Mega Philosophy.
Oh.
Yeah. The artist is the most important person. You are the teacher. People listen to you, they don't listen to their preachers.
Exaggerated tales of hustling. We quick to pass judgment and fail our brothers. Instead of talking about Laura Hill, talk about Laura Skill. Truth be told, there may never be a girl as hell. Don't gossip about Dame Dash. Give props to Dame Hand. For the rise of Jay stand for sign of Kanye, man.
That's
niggas
it.
Is crazy. That's why we ain't got shit. Rappers hate each other, not the labels that got rich. Don't care about culture, they only want profit. If your album sells slow, bet you get dropped quick. Q-Tip warned us, the industry's toxic. For reference, check out BDP Sex and Violence. When Styles Made I Get High, it was playing all day. When Styles Made I'm Black, it didn't get enough play.
Word.
I guess they got a problem with anything positive. Doesn't make sense if it doesn't bring dollars in.
Those that managed us, those that were our agents, those that were our accountants, those that were the record executives, those that were the owners of the record label, you never got true accounting for nothing that you did.
What's the difference between a label and pimping? You sell yourself, they tell you how to spend it. Whole ass niggas, slow down, listen. Pimps prey on minds with no ambition. They keep you fly. Image is promotion, they keep you high. So a nigga isn't focused, you living in the moment, feeling yourself. They living in plush homes, what's really success and what's swag? I don't care how you dress or what you drive, I want rhymes that really impress. You say it's all about money, do you even invest any time in your rhymes? Let me guess, you so nice you don't write, it just comes to you. Cause you the shit, nah, you just doodle. I lyrically abuse any rapper who choose to step to me. I will bring it right to you.
Who do you think you are to them? You're nothing but a piece of meat. And you're only as valuable as your last hit song. And when you make no more hit songs, nobody cares for you.
Men lie, women lie, numbers can be altered to look higher. Shareholders hate taking losses, this is business. They don't care about your lyrics. The better you sell, the better future for their children. Controversy sells, so they support conflict. Makes more progress, means more profit. An artist gets killed, they say they so sorry. Meanwhile, they tell you the date of his next project. What a life, death made a more profit. Record companies get paid for your drama. And Beef DVD is on BET, so every artist who was on it was beaver for free, while the royalties are going to QD3. He Quincy Jones, son, what he know about beef? No disrespect intended, I know he got beats, but it's deep how the rich get paid off our grief.
And every one of our great artists, they died with nothing. And the record company executives were rich sending their children to college. Brilliant. But the question is, can you put your brilliance in a song? Can you put the condition of the world in a song and inspire young people all over the world?
I don't know. Uh-oh.
Wait, what happened?
Oh, hold on.
There?
No, I'm good. Hold on.
What's the difference between? Yeah. So, yo, what do you think about that song?
Hold on.
Coming in hot.
There may be something on there you got to kind of... Yep.
Make it work for your boy.
Just
I know you like the song.
I did dig that.
Dive into it.
Is it all about money? Do you even invest?
Anytime in your rhymes? Let me guess. I don't know, man. I feel like Cormega had some sort of awakening, you know?
Okay.
Like a spiritual awakening, and he decided to make a record with it.
Okay.
And I applaud that.
Yeah.
You know?
Literally.
I do.
Steve and several of his friends who are Cormega fans are clapping in unison right now.
By the way, before we jump back into Letter L and before we talk about Cormega, can I just get a quick recap of what you drinking?
I was trying to drink the beers that I brought over here, although I guess I already did that.
You did.
Now, see, we had this discussion. I assumed there was 24 beers here last Thursday.
Okay.
Right. 24 Fair. Beers and one Chuck.
At the, right. And well, that's the thing. It's, I mean, Chuck being here, I was excited. I was getting after it drinking. You know what I mean?
I think I went through six personally. I can only imagine Chuck got through
Chuck
about
said,
six or eight.
No, I said eight. I thought eight was a fair guess.
Okay, so now we're at 14.
Four
we got
or five.
10 left. You probably have four or five.
Mm.
So now we're down to six
right.
over a weekend.
Well, that's the thing. And I just, like, I had completely forgotten about that.
Yeah.
You know?
You showed up empty-handed tonight.
So I'm I would have brought beer if I had known.
No electronic cigarettes either.
I did come in and just pour water all over your record collection.
True.
And I'm just drinking the water out of the records now. So that's what I'm drinking.
Suckling the records.
And the e-cigs are getting suckling burned records. On this side, the electronic cigarette. The only time I endorse the smoking of electronic cigarettes is while either recording or listening to Chrome Bills.
Now, let me ask you this question. If I were to smoke an electronic cigarette down here, would I get caught? Would my wife catch me? No, okay.
No, definitely not.
That's the best commercial they could ever have for an electronic cigarette.
Wow.
That is the commercial. Holy shit. It's the dude in the suit for the Logic one. He's in a suit and he's walking up the beach.
Okay.
And he's like going to a party and he takes the last drag and he puts it in his pocket and then he goes and hugs his wife. And then it says something like, "She thinks I quit, and in a lot of ways I did," or like something like that. It's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, wow. That's an ill commercial.
She made me promise I'd stop slowly killing myself. I'll show her. Well, I mean, e-cigarettes have to be, it'd be like, don't eat the steak fat.
Oh, I love the steak fat.
Right. Like, you don't want a lot of it. It's sort of marbled throughout. But, like, if you really are trying to be healthy, you cut the steak fat off.
Yeah.
With cigarettes, like, nicotine is so bad for you.
Yeah.
Are e-cigarettes just a much higher concentration
it's to be determined.
I think you want to. I think you really want to do your research on how bad nicotine is for you before you make that claim. Because I think that with cigarettes, they're saying that what the carcinogens
are. It's the combustion. It's the combustion that's killing you, right?
Absolutely. I mean, they say that there's like 4,000 active chemicals in the lit tip of a cigarette.
Yeah, that's my point, is that I think if you could find a way to make a nicotine-less cigarette, does that make sense? A cigarette that has the nicotine removed, like think of like a Diet Coke, then it would still give you cancer.
It would still give you cancer.
Absolutely. But so you're saying, how do you not think nicotine's, like on a scale of like fucking nuclear weapons, you know, up to like an apple, where do you put nicotine?
That scale
nicotine's,
is amazing.
That's a very that scale, strange
just
scale.
Take a second here.
I think it's closer to apples. That scale.
Man.
Puppy dogs and sludge from a porta potty.
You gotta let the mind go where it's gonna go. We do all this on the fly, folks. I'm gonna eat a nicotine sandwich.
No, I think nicotine, A, you can overdose from it, so that makes it already more dangerous than like something like marijuana. And it's super addictive. They say like as addictive or more addictive than heroin.
I swear to God, for the last 6 months, I've been like, I do not want to smoke cigarettes anymore. And then I'll get home after a long day, have half a pack sitting there. I'll just have the one or two. But
I'll take five, you take five.
Yeah, I'll split a pack with Chuck, make out a little bit. It's good times. But not like there's times you're like on the way home, I'm like, I'm only going to have one cigarette, but I'll still stop and buy a pack. I wouldn't even stop to pick up food. I'd just go to bed hungry. But cigarettes have me that addicted.
I'm weird in the sense that I'm the weirdest smoker, right? Because I walk by people in the morning. I walk by people in the morning on the streets in Manhattan that are smoking. I'm like, that's fucking gross. I admittedly look down. I look down on the people at my work that I see when I'm like coming back from a meeting that I see outside smoking. Uh-huh. I'm like, yo, we have an office on the 8th floor and you're just like popping outside to have a fucking cig in the middle of the afternoon. Right. Like, what part of the game is that? So I'll easily like I'll go out partying on a Saturday night, smoke a ton of cigarettes. I'll easily get to like Tuesday or Wednesday without another cigarette because I haven't been drinking. As soon as I fucking drink, I will then immediately it's like turnkey, at least five.
To echo your point, where I work, there's parts of the office there, the building where like you're pretty far back and you've got to take an elevator down, like. It's probably like a good 12 minutes round trip from their desk to out front. It's actually been a pretty nice summer this year, but like June, muggy as shit. And I'll see like people like outside halfway through a cigarette. I'm like, you walked all this way. You've got all that way to go and you're smoking. Like how bad does this have you?
Yeah.
Chuck, you'll go multiple days without a cigarette?
Oh, no problem. Like this week, I would say
that's impressive.
I went Sunday, Monday, and then we had my girl and I split a bottle of wine on Tuesday, and I smoked like one cigarette that night because it was like a subtle like glass of wine, maybe two glasses of wine.
But you're not cheating on me. You're not splitting my cigs with her, are you?
Yeah, you didn't split a pack with her.
You're not cheating on me, are you?
No, our packs are different. The C&C Cigarette Factory. That's
CNC Cigarette Factory.
That's completely somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So anyway, Lana Del Rey put out a record recently. Mm-hmm. She's on the cover of Rolling Stone. Apparently, she made a provocative comment about saying she should already be dead because every good musician dies at 27. I guess she is 28.
See, here's how I know. Here's how I know a statement like that is just so crafted for publicity.
Yes.
I could say I should be able to dunk a basketball. I should have made a lot more music off of my, or a lot more money off of my music. I shouldn't be weighed down by this piece of shit property I have. There's certain things that I can control. If you feel like you should be dead, then kill yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you're just saying that you should
be
dead,
for attention.
But you're not.
You're saying
so
for don't
attention. Fucking talk about it.
Yeah.
Because there's people, you know, like with the Robin Williams things now, like we've all lost people. Like that's not some
it's nothing to joke. It's nothing to like kind of be like, that's a cool thing to do.
I have a problem when people are like, hey, look at my tits. Like I have no talent as a musician, but I'm famous for making music because of my tit. Like what sense does that make? Yeah. You're using sex for that.
Katy Perry.
Don't fucking, yeah. Don't use death for that.
Yeah.
And I actually think she's really talented.
Who's that?
Lana Del Rey.
Oh, I
like her music.
Katy Perry.
I also wonder how late she is. Very hot too. I also wonder how late in an interview, like a comment like that just comes out, and like Rolling Stone's doing like 4 hours, and then they're like, "We got one, we got one." Like you hear a bell go off in the background. She's like, "Wait, what did I just say?"
Yeah.
Because well, then yeah, that I becomes mean, the big thing, and it was like Kurt Cobain's like daughter is adding her on Twitter, you know, and being like, "Oh, that's fucked up. You don't even know what it's like. You should think about how it affects other people." And I'm sure she's like, "Yo, I've done 400 press interviews for this fucking record. I said one thing."
Well, that's the other thing too. I feel like context is everything. I mean, I thought she
that's a pretty big that's an egotistical statement, though. You know,
well, on top of that,
like,
she
I should
also
be considered one of the greats. You know.
But she was. She wasn't like, I should be dead.
That's a way of saying I'm one of the greats, and I should be dead because I'm that great.
Yeah.
But that's what's weird about text versus the, spoken word.
It's solid.
Like the spoken word, and when you're in a conversation with someone versus like reading it, is that I wonder like. I would love to know like the 2 minutes leading up to that, and if that sort of comment, like we say outrageous shit all the time. I mean,
if she was 6 beers deep, then
they were like known child molester Cole Policy, as documented by what he said. Yo, kids,
Cole
take
Policy.
Your pants off.
Whoa. Yeah,
well,
it's true. Well, that's the thing. I wonder. Chuck makes the point too, where it's like she might have just couched it like in something, or just sort of blurted it out, joking around, and then it's the headline.
Yeah,
but see, that's the thing. If she wanted to walk that back or qualify it, I haven't heard her come up off it. I haven't heard her been like, what I meant was, she's just like, oh, cool. Like, I have 100,000 more YouTube videos after that quote hit the internet.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'll say something crazier
she
next
did
time.
Well.
Yeah. I mean, I guess sometimes saying it doesn't have to be crafted, but not responding to the fact that you kind of put your foot in your mouth, that can still be crafted. Because I'm
feel
sure.
Like it's
I'm
a
sure.
lose-lose. You can't say shit. Even if you apologize, then people are like, oh, see, she apologized.
I feel like
shit.
You got two choices at that level.
Yeah.
Everybody gets along with you, or you're a complete asshole.
Yeah.
And I think she's like it's like the wrestling thing. Like when people start turning heel, becoming
well.
A bad guy.
Yeah, might as well do it.
That being cool isn't working for you.
Yep.
Fuck them off.
Flying through this list.
So
Jack,
Cole,
let's
Cole,
talk Jack White's catalog.
At warp speed.
Have you checked the Lana Del Rey album?
I have not heard this new one. I do remember this was probably like 2 years ago. I bought someone the Lana Del Rey CD because they liked it and it was their birthday. It was this girl I was hanging out with.
Okay.
And I remember like just her
you
in passing.
A girl, you're saying you bought a girl a Lana Del Rey CD?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll buy you one. I'm buying both of you motherfuckers. I'll buy Chuck Cigarettes and I'll buy you
a Lana Del Rey CD.
Mary Banilow CDs.
All I got to say
Banilow.
Is if Hickey starts
Mary
buying people.
Banilow. Mary Banilow. I'm a big fan of hers, Mary Banilow.
If Hickey starts buying Lana Del Rey CDs, they better go to all three of us.
Right.
I'm just putting that out there. There's no favoritism within the
group. Wow. The girl was Hickey. Is that what you're trying to say? Yo, it was good. Yo, Hickey came out.
Yeah.
Big Slop came out.
Definitely.
Ron was out. Drew was out.
Crazy.
Who was the dude at the end of the night where the waiter came out and he was like, wait, first of all,
whoa.
I want to get something clear with this.
Okay.
Actually, can we retell this story? Because it was very hazy on my end.
Yeah. All right, so
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
We started at one. You guys had been at one bar since like 6:30. I actually shot a video for a song that we're going to play on next week's Chrome Bills. It's called Serotonin Sweepstakes. So I got down there at like 9:30.
Okay.
From there, we went to another bar in Silver Spring. And actually, this is, you remember the story I told about the girl who kind of blew me off and then saw me perform?
Yes.
That's where we went on the date, was the second place that we went. Yeah.
Oh, really?
She had a biological reaction.
She had a biological.
Go check it.
Mm-hmm. Is it like episode?
That's the episode 40? Name. I think it's like 46, 45, 46. 47.
Definitely 48.
Right?
It's definitely 48.
You found us. Find us again on SoundCloud or iTunes. Definitely. Subscribe and leave a comment.
The way
that place was set up, and as I was thinking about it later, it made sense. And I've noticed a lot of bars are starting to do this. You don't go up to the bar. You just sort of stand in this general area,
yeah.
And then servers come up to you, which I think is a lot of problems could happen.
I agree.
Like if somebody wanted to be joking around, taking drink orders
just
and
order
then leaving.
Just fucking order on your tab.
Right. So the way it was set up, at one point, this one dude was handling like two tables that we were at. Another person was handling another, like, we were the only people there. It was like 30 of us. Anyway.
It definitely wasn't 30.
It started out, what do you think?
22. Like, I counted the next
22?
Morning. 22?
22. We settled up. Now, I remember settling up with the main dude. And I think after we settled up, he came down. He came over and just like plunked down three PBRs.
Yeah.
And no, I remember
I ordered them.
You ordered three Natty Bows.
Okay, then I'm forgetting that. Then what I interpret, because I was like, yo, that happened after I paid, and I think we all paid at the same time. Anyway, as we're leaving, the guy comes outside. He's like, fellas, like, what about this tat? And in my head, I was like, all right, like, you either were trying to play us, or you were fucking up, or we're fucking up. But whatever the case, like, you, me, and the, was it Chachki?
Chachki.
Sorry.
Chachki.
We were getting in a car.
Church.
I was like, we're, you know, all like in our 30s. None of us is like bolting on this tab. I'm not about to take, like, we'll handle this.
Yeah, we got it.
And I told, I was like, yo, we paid up. Like, I was like, yo, but like, whatever, like, we'll come in and take care of this. Some dickhead standing, like, he was like a bar fly.
Yeah.
But he was our age. I was like, your life's already at a bad place if you're a bar fly at like 34 at a place nobody's at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was like, y'all should leave 30% or something. And I immediately was like, mind your own business. And Chuck was like, opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one and they all stink. This dude couldn't get a word in edgewise. It's like berating him. Like, shut the fuck up. Mind your own business. And at some point, like, I remember talking to the waiter. I was like, but now I'm hazy as to how that got resolved. Did you give him cash?
Yeah, I threw in a 10. Chuck threw in 10 and Hickey gave him a 10 or something like that, right?
No, it wasn't even. That was the other thing, too, is he actually had his opinion. The check, right, because we got three shitty beers, it was like $15.
Yeah.
So we were trying, or it was like 16 or something, right? So we had pulled 20 together, and then we were trying to get another one or something like that. So it just wasn't like too small of a tip. This guy had been taking care of us all night. Which also, for the record, when I look at it, when I thought about it the next morning, I'm like, dude,
who gives a
we
fuck?
Brought a 20-person group into a dead-ass bar and probably spent between, I don't know, $250 and $400. If we would have left on three beers, fucking deal with it.
Like, well, hold on.
Shit cost you the bar $3.
Chuck, you had closed out the tab that you had going and then ordered those three beers.
Yes, and because we closed out because
that dude's
other people...
Up. Give me a fucking break.
We closed out because other people were leaving.
Put them in the group.
And I never intended to then order those like they were on the house.
My boy Nickel and Dime over here.
No, I completely agree. Like that, had I known or if I had done that and just like was like faded or whatever and walked out, like it wouldn't have been my intention to try and skate on. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
I felt some type of way the next day because I just remember how the adrenaline went through my body the first time
mad.
I said something to him.
You got mad. Yeah.
Not only did I get mad, I was ready. Like if he would have been like, oh, who the fuck are you talking to? I just would have dropped it, which is like something I swore I left. Like 10 years in the past. And right. I would not have liked to have like come back on my like, you know, one of my two or three weekends at home a year and all of a sudden like get in a fight with some random dude outside of some bar. Like that's not what the night was about.
Hickey's the voice of reason. We'll just leave it up to Hickey. He's the...
Oh, Hickey! Wait, Hickey
he's
did
the mayor.
Totally he's the quell the situation and sat out there and was just like, "Why? You know, what was your favorite part of the night, man? Like, how was your night? Like, we should switch it to the positivity."
When I got bitched by three people I don't know,
he actually did say one of his favorite parts of the night was talking to y'all. He's like, "You know, talking to y'all." He's like,
"That's
I worked
funny.
Earlier."
What? He's like, "All right,
all right." Anyways,
I have two questions though.
Flying through this list,
do you think
Mayhem Loren?
Do you think the dude who was serving us,
uh-huh.
He'd have to fucking know, but I have to ask. Do you think he realized that entire area was all the same group?
Definitely.
Right.
Yes.
Then my point's he's fucking up.
Yeah, he's a dick.
Here's the other thing about that dude who was like, you should leave a bigger tip. It was like, that's a passive aggressive.
Spend your own money.
Well, the other thing about it too is like, dude, like,
it is
number one, it's passive aggressive, but it's insulting to it. You're just assuming that we tried to skate.
Agreed. Number two.
Plus, like, mind your own fucking business.
Yeah.
Now, as you have to be fucking nuts to then say, it couldn't have been more than what, like 10 minutes later, like, one of my favorite parts of the night is talking to you guys.
Yeah.
And it also adds up. Did he work there?
No,
I think he was like, it's weird how bartenders are friends with other bartenders.
They all hang out with other bartenders.
He was saying he was a bartender downtown, and I was like, oh, at what spot? And then he would just be like, downtown.
Yeah.
Unless there's a bar named downtown. Maybe that's where Different Styles hangs out, and that's why I can't ever find him. It's because I'm like, where the fuck downtown. Y'all at? And they're like, downtown.
He serves beer at fucking Nats Park. He's like, I'm a bartender.
Downtown.
Now, if he is a bartender,
yeah.
It doesn't excuse it, but now I get why all of a sudden he'd be like, you should leave a bigger tip. It's like, I've been there, like I've been on the shit end of this stick, but still, fuck him.
No, that's where I would always say, your boy is factual.
Like we're
trying to leave. Yeah.
You know?
Huh?
Your boy is factual over here, and I definitely broke it down. I was like, dude, don't fucking jump in because we just closed the check and I think we left $75. So like, why don't you go fuck yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, that, he was real quick to avert his eye. Like,
yeah.
Before, as I was walking up, like, I just stood, and when he talked, like, I turned to him, was like, mind your own business, and then just stared at him. And as soon as his eyes sort of looked away, I was like, all right, like, you kind of just want a friend right now. That's why you're being a dick. How many people do you know that are dicks just to get attention? All of them.
Children.
Everybody. Children, yeah, temper tantrum. Mm. I'm going to go serve one beer.
Okay.
I'm just going to do it down here. And right. Be like, I picked up a bartending shift in White Oak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fucking, I'm a bartender. You're a dickhead. Dickhead.
All right, so is the Mayhem Lorenor and Mayhem Loren album
Mayhem.
Actually from 2014? I added that to the list.
Oh, Mayhem. That's the one.
Mayhem.
Okay. Mayhem and cheese.
Silk Pyramids, produced, I believe, entirely by Showbiz.
I love how you just messed that up so hard.
Mayhem.
Who did? Me?
What was messed up?
It's Buck Wild produced the whole thing. I produced entirely.
Errors, omissions, additions, subtractions.
I'm like,
and infections.
All
right. I'm Googling that.
The whole album Showbiz. It's all Buck Wild Productions.
I'm putting down Showbiz and Buck Wild. No one's going to know no one's going to be the wiser.
Show Buck Wild. Yeah, excellent.
Did you guys
album.
Get into that album?
Hell yeah, I got into that album. Production is off the chain.
Buck Wild on production.
Chuck, do you listen to...
Confirmed, by the way. I just Googled.
When you're walking around, do you listen to music in earbuds or the over-the-ear phones?
Earbuds.
I can't do that. Do you have like really good earbud headphones?
No, but it would just be some other shit to carry. Like, the amount of times I'm traveling, like this is here's a hashtag for your list of topics. It's an earbud lifestyle. Like
earbud lifestyle.
You just can't roll with these,
dude. The over the ear shit. Like you're not in the That's NBA, aggressive. Dude. Just get some earbuds. You don't play for the Clippers.
Listen, assholes. I listen to earbuds all at work. I can listen to stuff. Like it's pretty much the only thing that keeps me from leaping off of the roof.
Right.
But I'll walk around listening to like the over the earphones only for music. When I go for my walks, mm-hmm. where I've met several elderly people on my walks. I always listen to like when it's hot out, mm-hmm. I'll always listen to earbuds, but like whenever I listen to music, I'm like, this sounds like Steve's cats running around in a coffee can. I'm not getting what I need to out of this. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to step your
No,
step
even
your
the
up.
Ones that come with the
Spend
iPhone
20
5
bucks.
Are good.
Spend 20 bucks
well,
instead of 10,
that's
you're going to get a better
That's what I'm asking.
Just spend
Cole, I don't need to be belittled to learn a lesson.
No, I got an honest question.
Yeah.
And you'll know where I'm going with this.
I got a dishonest answer.
Are your earbuds blue right now?
No, I
I gave Cole a $1 pair of earbuds because he didn't have anything for the train the last time he was up here. And if he was still using those, I was going to be like, dude, those are disposable. Like, why are you reusing eye drops? Like, you need to throw those out.
And again, I appreciate that you did give those to me because that would have been pretty. I forgot them on the way up. On the it was just not good times.
Yeah,
they were very uncomfortable. They would just go like you would just insert them in your ear. The other ones that I have are like they're like $30 from Radio Shack. How much do I need to spend to get the quality
$20
that I want?
I got a nice set for $20.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And now comparable to the over the earphones? Not even close, right?
I mean, depends on what you're used for.
You're mad as shit at this.
I am. I don't like this.
But what are you gonna go to the gym in some fucking over the ear?
Yeah, you can't wear that.
No, absolutely, absolutely. But that's when I listen to podcasts like Chrome Bills from iTunes or SoundCloud.
Like your boy, your boy biked 8 hours to eight miles today. 8 hours.
Jesus Christ.
Yo.
Actually, but like you weren't like on a standstill bike. You were actually biking, right?
Biking around the streets of New York City. I finally got a city bike, which is that thing where you pay like $100 for the year. I think they have something very similar in DC. It's just called Bike Share.
They take wooden tokens.
That shit gets used all the time. Do they take wooden tokens?
Yeah, you pay with wooden
wooden teeth.
That's wooden
not true.
Carved from Jack White's beaver. We'll take your wooden tokens.
That's actually what Jack White's doing at the beginning of They Like It Loud. Is he's making bike tokens?
He's making wooden bike tokens.
It might get loud. Not They Like It Loud.
Oh, it might get loud. Oh, yeah. They Like It Loud is a group in different styles.
It's a porn movie. Yo.
Yo.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, city bikes. No, I feel like that's a bike share. God, we should tag this. I'm definitely going to tag that.
Bike share?
We'll get hipster douchebag listeners. We need them. Hey, are you a hipster douchebag? Take a picture wearing a Chrome Bills t-shirt that hasn't been made yet.
I hear this a lot. Hipster douchebag in the same sentence.
Yeah.
There's got to be cool hipsters out there, right?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Right?
No.
There's none of them?
Yeah, of course there are.
Like, none of them are like, you know, he's like, try this artisanal cheese and this microbrew, and you're like, fuck, dude, that's sick. Like, where'd you get those cut off jean shorts? I made them. Like, oh, fuck yeah. Like,
why is your mustache longer than your beard?
Yeah.
Because that's how I roll.
Like, goddamn, this hipster's cool as a motherfucker.
Absolutely.
I think the original hipster. Like the roots of the hipster thing is very organic in the sense that it's like moving to an expensive city like Washington, D.C., which is top five in the country for expensive places to live, or New York City, and really having no money and then needing to wear a lot of the same clothes, getting cheap clothes, drinking beer that you can find for a dollar at a bar, like all that before it became a thing to be, like probably the same way that goth was or something like that. There were people that just were like hipsters by default because, like, yeah, they had like a mustache and a beard because like they hadn't bought a razor in fucking 3 weeks, you know.
I actually read an interesting book. It's by a guy named Gavin McGinnis, who I think started Vice Magazine, which is now Vice
like Media.
Vice Media, right? I think he started it with who's the guy that does
Shane Smith.
Shane Smith. I think the two of them started together. Gavin McGinnis is widely credited as being the first hipster.
I'd like to read that book.
I think it's called How to Piss in Public.
Okay.
But Piss in Public's definitely in the title. Great. He's a very interesting guy.
Everybody knows how to piss in public. You just kneel down like you're tying your shoe.
Yeah, why am I thinking that? Maybe I have to pee. Is it just me or do you hear your cat running around in a coffee can?
Yeah, the cat's in the ceiling.
Chuck keeps talking about how he's like, I was driving around New York. I thought he lived on the moon.
Right.
That's what you told me. That's why he's not here anymore.
Right.
That's why I stopped crying myself to sleep after he left. He's only fucking 4 hours away. You mean I could go see him all the time?
Cole, I want to talk about your nerves for a second. I want to talk about your nerves for a second. All right, so I get on a bike, right, and I want to go down the river, but I had to go 9 blocks in one direction and then 4 blocks in another. So I want to know, seize mics. I know the Steve Jarek reaction. Cool, calm, collected. Even a little aggressive. Seize mics. 13 blocks in the city on a bike. How you handling it? Scared to death or road raging right away?
Well, here's the thing. The thing that bothers me the most about my back and feet being all fucked up, like, I have a ton of nervous energy. I love, like, when I say I go for a walk, like, I do. Like, I love getting out and, like, being physical. I hate fucking sitting in a car. I hate, like, just sitting at a desk doing nothing. I think I would enjoy the process of riding the bike enough where I'd overlook certain things. But now you're saying, see, to me, I'm just like, oh, like, you're traveling, you know, down, like, a brick road and there's nobody around. Are you, like, literally almost crashing into people?
No.
How fast are you going?
The majority of the trip is in a dedicated bike path.
How do you ride a bike on the moon?
But you have to, I had to go a certain amount of blocks from where my office is, right across from a major area of the city, Penn Station, to then get over to the West Side Highway. So that was, I had to do 13 blocks on what basically you're explaining of like car, you know, like you're going with the green and all that, but like it gets a little dicey when you're sitting at a red light and then it goes, yeah. or when you kind of go through a yellow and you're wondering, or
they don't,
you know,
give a fuck in New York City. Those cab drivers don't give a shit.
Were you going to work or you were coming from work
today? For the first time I ever used a bike at all for work, I actually rode a bike to a meeting that was 2 miles away, rode it back, and then because of how good that experience went, I rode the bike all the way home, which is about 3.5 miles.
See, nice. This is the other thing in terms of the nerves. And I think that, like, if I was just, like, going for a 4-hour bike ride, fucking sign me up. You guys have made the joke that I'm DJ Three Shirts because when I, and my path to the NBA is because I sweat so much.
Would have been a rep.
The idea of riding a bike 2 miles to go sit in still in a room full of people that I have to, like,
couldn't
be
able, do it.
I would be drenched.
Yeah, it would be funny no as way. Hell.
Were you not sweating, Chuck?
No, but keep in mind, it was a beautiful day up here today, because you guys probably had a really nice day down there, and we're typically like 6-7 degrees lower. So yeah, it was like high 70s. It was fucking beautiful.
If I rode 2 miles in a blizzard on a bike, by the time I got where I was going, I'd be drenched in
you
sweat.
You would be sweating.
Yeah.
I felt it a little when I got back. Like, I purposely knew I had the meeting too. So, I mean, you can, there's a difference between walking and running, right? So there's a difference between killing what? It on your bike or just kind of pedaling along, right?
Slow down. Right.
Steve's feisty tonight.
I am feisty.
I'm gonna say it.
Do you know why? I haven't had a drink in 4 days.
Oh, really?
Dead
I was
sober.
Gonna say there's a couple like little darts I could throw.
Yeah.
That's how often are you drinking these days usually?
The past probably 2 months, I've been drinking like at least once every other day.
Now
a beer or two, and now I'm 4 days. You can see me. I'm rocking back and forth in the chair.
You're knitting a sweater.
Well, which is weird because
there are now three
stopped?
Guitars.
What's that, Chuck?
Hadn't you kind of stopped at one point, like in the last year?
A while back, I had scaled it. But since the baby's been born, I've been boozing, you know? I've been boozing. Not with the baby? Not with the baby, but just like after she goes to bed. Like
start early, kid.
Drink here and there, you know?
Right.
People come over, they bring gifts. They usually bring like a bottle of wine or something.
Okay.
So you just,
okay.
You just have it around.
Yeah. Well, here's, and this is the thing. Your energy towards me, what I was going to say is, it's almost like you're, it's not that you're mad at me, but like,
no,
you're
I
like,
love you.
Here's the thing. You're like, I'm mad at this dude, but I know I don't have the right to because I wanted him to do something that I didn't talk to him about. You're mad that I didn't bring beer. A
yes.
little part of you.
Wow.
But then you're just like, that's not reasonable. So then you get mad at yourself.
I like the psychoanalysis here.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Jack White. I think Jack White really, really set it off.
Set me off?
What if Jack White brought you a beer right now? Would you be cool with him?
Yes.
What if he brought it with 20 Ravens fans? I would shoot them all.
As he's opening it's just...
Dude, I went to the Nats-Orioles game a few weeks back.
Fights?
No, but okay. I'm saying the Baltimore fans were a little aggressive. You know?
Towards who?
Anybody wearing red.
How so?
They're just talking shit.
They beat the Nets.
They beat the Nets 7-3, and on the ride home, you definitely heard that fucking Seven Nation Army song. And I'm not even a baseball fan. I don't give a shit.
See, this
I just don't like you coming into another person's city. You know, you're coming into DC and you're talking all that shit.
Well, it's what the Yankees do to them, fucking 40 games a year. So of course they're gonna do it somewhere else.
Was it good natured at all, or was
yeah,
it
some people were good? Some people were good natured. Other people were being obnoxious.
Did anyone say you guys should be dead at 27? Were they using that to make their
yes.
point? Eating an apple while shooting a nuclear warhead at a cat in a coffee can. Just tie it all together. Part of me wonders if they hadn't. I bet if we went back and reexamined that situation,
right?
It was like 75 elderly people, and they were just, you know, sort of joking around. They were passing out hard candies, and they're like, "Oh, we beat you. You'll get us next time."
And I snapped on them.
No, but as soon as they started to hum the song, you're like, "God, what a bunch of assholes, antisocial."
I was actually able while we were just talking to pull some audio of the final runs that put it up to 7-3, and so I'm gonna play that real quick.
Oh, it's a home run!
Yeah.
It's a home run! They are done. They are so done.
Should we leave early, hun? Maybe getting home would be bad because of traffic. Nah, you're crazy. Let's stay and have a natty boo. We smoke a butt? Why do everybody in Baltimore smoke cigarettes? You want to smoke a butt?
A butt?
No, you know what's weird, though? You know what's weird, though? But to flip the finger around, because I definitely get that look in New York, is only in D.C. do people call cigarettes jacks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. No one else. No yeah. one else. I'll be like, yo, yep. You want to hit a jack? And people will be like, what's up? What the fuck?
I thought your name was Chuck. Have I ever told you my story when I was in London? I was like 14. I've always looked like I was 38 years old.
Uh-huh.
So I was at, this tells you, I love my dad. He did a great job. But for whatever reason, when I was 14 in London with my dad, we were at a bar. This woman comes up to me and she's like, do you have a fag? And that's what they call cigarettes in London. My game was completely thrown off. I was like, are you hitting on me? Do you think I'm gay? I'm 14. I'm sweating profusely right now. What's going on? And then my dad was like, that's what they call cigarettes.
So they let you in the bar at 14?
Yeah.
Yo, that's cool, man. U.S., you know.
You know, that's a really good question.
We need to lighten up. Like,
I'm starting to think maybe it was not that environment and this woman was just like walking around in public drunk. Maybe I'm remembering it wrong.
I don't know. I think you should be able to go to a bar with your parents.
Fuck yeah.
You can actually get some good bonding and you're going to actually learn something that's not quite so scripted when you're with your parents at a bar.
Here's the other thing about anything that you're trying to teach your kid. Although,
okay.
Now that you have a daughter, we're going to see how... like, think about it. Do you like your precious daughter? Like, I saw you playing with her when I first got here. Like,
yes.
She's your everything.
Right.
Could you see it like 12 being like, if it was possible, I think it'd be a good idea to take her to a bar?
I would take her there. I would take her to a bar from like the hours of 6 to 8.
Okay.
Before the
kiddie pool.
Before the sun goes down. Okay. I think it's all right. Okay. that we're in a bar. Okay. You know, you get to see people a little bit out of there. You know, getting loose or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're not tanked.
Now is she? No, she's not drinking alcohol.
No.
You're giving her like a Shirley Temple. You give her a book to read. Like you're like,
she
yo.
She can have a soda or something.
Feel the vibe.
She
out.
Gets a little soda. She okay. gets a cup of coffee.
A little soda.
A little soda.
I know you're 12. We don't want you drinking alcohol. Here's 3 shots of espresso.
And an e-cigarette.
Yeah. And an O's fan's going to tell you how to drink, huh?
I mean, when I was growing up, my dad would, you know, he had some Budweisers.
Yeah.
And occasionally I would have a Budweiser, you know, to realize that it's not the worst, you know, it's not...
I wonder if I should tell this.
Okay.
When I was 20...
My dad didn't give you a Budweiser.
No.
Okay.
When I was 20, he did... I do remember his he would open bottles of beer with his mustache. When I was 20, I got a DWI.
Really?
Yeah. And it was... Here, this is actually an interesting story.
Okay.
I gotten pulled over a couple times. I was going to University of Maryland on campus by this cop. My last name's Policy. Carmen Policy is my dad's cousin. The guy used to run the 49ers.
Yeah.
Have I told the story on here?
Keep going.
That part, yes.
All right. So this is the... So I got pulled over twice by this dude. He was like, oh, like, Mr. Policy, I remember you. And like neither time... It was just like a routine thing or whatever.
Okay.
When I got pulled over by this dude, number one, I was making a right where it was like no right on red. I swear to God, the light turned green. Anyway... When my dad found out about it, he was like, and my dad was not a good dude to piss off.
You win some, you lose some?
Nah, he was like, what am I going to tell you? You know what I mean?
Like I've done it before.
Yeah, he was just like, I didn't set like the best example, you know? And I was just, and it really did show him, I was like, that's good parenting. Because if you'd been an asshole and then I had to pull that card,
right?
Like, I learned my fucking lesson.
At least he's aware enough to know that he can't rub something in your face, you know?
Right.
Oh,
right.
Shit. Hold up. Hold up. Hold up. Hold up. That guy was rapping back there.
Mm. There was someone actually, you rapping.
Guys, do you guys want to listen to a track here?
Let's do it.
Some verbal gymnastics. Some insane alphabeticals.
Who is this guy?
Propheticals.
Mac Lethal.
Mac Lethal.
Coming up on Instagram. A Chrome Bills interview with Mac Lethal coming up.
Should we tell the people?
We ask him how quickly he can say the alphabet, and this is what he came back to us with.
Okay. That was a great segue, Steve.
Thank you.
I adamantly attack the alphabet with an anecdotal algorithm made of adamanium. I'm like an Adderall addicted anaconda or an alcoholic or an asshole like A-Rod. No anabolics, but I brutally and beautifully butcher the banging beat. Brushing bubbly all over your booby and booty beef, cause I'm a carpenter. I come carving your carcass, leaving all these carfish crushed on the carpet. Crumbling cron in Colorado with my cow cronies. I'm cramming it full of condiments like it's a calzone. Delicious, I didn't drive and drink. Whether diamonds or dimes, man, I'm diving deep like an electric eel. I'm elegantly eloquent in every cent I've ever earned. Just enter me in the election. I got 11 brains like an enormously educated Einstein. Well, elephantitis of the erection, a freak. I'm fighting with a flat-footed felon. Five falcons just flew to a fountain and fell in. Google it, googly-eyed girls to get inside. Golly G from Glasgow to Guatemala, gentrified. A hippopotamus is high in hair when he heckles me and hires Asian hang damn. This hoe a hysterectomy and hateful hieroglyph for her like hyperbolic hubris and hang with hipster Helen. That's a hooker with the huge hips. I'm ill, I'm Icarus. I ignite idiots and idioms and issues. Jumpy jargon, I joust like Jacare jiving. Japanese judo and jujitsu, killing them like a kid. Got a kilogram academy for Kwanzaa. Midikamoto, dragon skin. Rich like a Klingon, that be kicking it at the Kremlin. But I'm kicking through your door. Call me Kramer Kardashian. Lethal, literally literal, little limerick that be littler than a leprechaun. A menace that'll manifest a melancholy mayhem, making a metamorphosis until I'm mechanized like Megatron. Nick Nolte, a nerdy native of Nebraska, needs a neon ninja and a nectarine from NASA. Ominously, I mean it's obvious. You see a orthodontist who's an out oodles of onomatopoeias. Oswald Patton, picking a pocket, plucking a patent. I pick a purple poop and Patron for pure passion. I got a question, gotta quiz ya. Let's step on the gas and go quicker. We're really getting ready for the revolution. Reel the rotten rhythm, ring around the Russian Ronda Rousey resort. Serve a simple cinnamon assembly that's smoking like a sheet of Sudafed. I'm flipping, swimming like a seahorse. Cities on a teller, that'll toe tag. Terminator gun inside a turtle tattered tote bag. Thugs are un-American, unattractive, and a wanted as an ugly pair of Uggs. A vivid, evasively venomous with the wicked wombats. Only walker with women is getting xenophobic at the Xanadu. XOXO. Yippee-ki-yay, yeah, yours truly met. Yes, yo! Oh, shit. I forgot Z. Zebra.
I will not. Yo, Mac Lethal showing the alphabet insanity right there.
Mm-hmm. That was
very ill.
I was worried about him. Yeah. I thought maybe it was he was insane now.
Right.
But it was just the alphabet insanity.
How the fuck does he do that, man?
Very talented.
Craziness. Yeah.
Very talented. We should have him on the show.
I would like to have him on the show sometime.
I'll work on that.
Yep. What would you call songs like that? Like, I know Cole and I used to say it was like MC Homework. Mm-hmm. What would you classify
a like song? That. You want to explain that, Chuck? I think our audience would like to know what you mean by that.
Well, there's like sometimes when rappers write a song, I feel like they sit down with a beat, they kind of catch a good feeling, they're in the right space mentally, and they could write like a really good verse in 45 minutes, you know, something like that, like 16 bars, 45 minutes, you know, maybe 30, maybe an hour. Then there's other times where you have like an idea and you might be working on it for weeks, you know, like I did the... For me, personal experience was I did a song called Lyrical Whatever where everything flipped back and forth. So it'd be like MP3s at 3 p.m. And it was like some shit that I was just going around and sucking in stuff in my life, observing stuff in my life. And trying to think. And it was like overhead projectors of projected overhead. Like I still was like, yo, it took a month of working on a song like that for something like that to pop in my head. Whereas like CDs in DC was like, you know, day one.
Right.
So that's what I'd explain as an MC Homework song. And I know Cole's done, you know, similar stuff. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank on what it is. Maybe like the butt song comes to mind, actually.
It's about cigarettes, actually.
The butt song? Okay.
It's the second song on aisle two. If you go to seizemikes.com, you can get my new album, Cruel Fuel, and all of my old stuff. But yeah, I think the other thing about it is I feel like it's like anybody who likes to be creative, like Steve, you're good with your hands. You're very good at like making things. You know what I mean?
True.
Like men or guys.
Wow. Too much.
But I feel like
too much.
There's always that point where... I feel like anytime that you're... The starting point of... doing something creative.
Okay.
It's sort of like if you're just going to sculpt, literally, I should use this, like make a guitar out of a tree. Like you just see like the piece that you're going to start with. Then you start like cutting away at it, seeing it start to take shape. And I always feel like with writing a song, once that knot comes loose, like that I'm untying it, that's I'm like, I got it. Now I know what this song is. Everything else falls into place. I feel like that's always the process of what takes the longest.
Okay, but He did an A through Z song. Don't you think 50% of all rappers have done an A to Z verse at one point in time?
No, it's really hard.
I think it's high.
It's really hard. 50's way high.
You think it's less than that?
I mean, yeah, Blackalicious to me is the only group I can think of that like notably nailed a
song.
That
maybe put it on a record, but I feel like I don't know. If you were heavy into writing, of course, it's just only natural that you're going to have a 1-2-3 or an ABC song in some form or fashion, right?
I'm telling you, what's the name of the Atmosphere song? Slug did it the best.
Okay. Totally,
there's four bars
totally
for each letter.
Totally forgot about it. That's insane, okay. Yeah.
Well, your point's well taken.
But I was going to give him a compliment in that I've never heard an A to Z song done that well.
Right.
And well, I like the Blackalicious song, you know? But that shit is... As fast as
multiples reprise,
as fast as Gift of Gab was going, Mac Lethal's going twice that speed.
Then, right,
you know.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's taken. That's the thing I like. Number one, Mac Lethal he won Scribble Jam at least once. He might have made it twice. I know he made it to the finals three times.
He was in the finals the year I went, but he did not win it.
Was that against ADM?
ADM.
Okay.
I was going to say Alias, but yeah, ADM.
So then he won the next year.
He did.
And then I remember he lost one year to Illmaculate, who was just on fire. Nobody was going to beat him that night.
I heard that he was little and whack, so they call him Lil Wackulate.
Lil Wackulate.
I think the Mac Lethal Scribble Jam loss is against, or victory is against Dose Noun.
Okay.
And that's the one
where actually,
it's like he kind of got jerked the year before, and then he kind of feels like he's getting jerked in that year. And they actually have like a post-battle. I thought it was like a real dope moment of humbleness for Mac, where he was like citing back to someone he battled in like the first or second round and being like, yo, you know this is kind of yours. Which is weird, because then it's also assuming he would have beat the next two or three people.
Dose is, it's funny because Dose is the dude who now has that lawyer video that went viral.
Yeah.
That's Dose now, and his name's Daniel Musing.
Yeah. Thanks, anybody Dan. Out there.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. He's probably the best freestyler or the most consistent freestyler in terms of just saying like really sharp, dope shit. Style-wise, like I felt like his patterns, like he always has like a similar cadence. But I've never seen anybody, he literally, I think, could freestyle for like 24 hours straight and just like keep hitting you with ill shit. Battle-wise, yeah. I mean, I think if he had beaten or if he had been given the decision he should have been against Mac Lethal, then I think he would have ran through everybody else. Because I remember it was funny too with Mac Lethal after that, like when they called him out to the stage, then he was just like, I got like a second chance. Like I didn't think I wasn't sure I'd be out here. And he just fucking started crushing people, you know?
Yeah, I thought when I saw Mac I think it was 2000, 2001 or something like that. I thought he got jerked in the finals against ADM.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
ADM didn't do anything to impress me really with his year.
It's so interesting because I feel like in Chuck, like I feel like we both watched that DVD a couple times.
Yeah.
What ADM did in that, like he was off flow.
Yeah.
And then he had the one line, he's like, I hope that you choke. Next year, do yourself a favor, get some motherfucking better jokes. Like because he said that to end, I think, his whole turn.
Okay.
After doing like the crazy like cadence shit, like not even saying like
he didn't have any disses, anything like that.
Right. And then to end it like that really nailed it. And I do remember
that like Mac didn't live up to his potential because he was killing people
right.
beforehand.
Right.
I felt like overall that was his battle.
Right.
Because he won 4 or 5 and just clowned the shit out of people.
Yeah.
And maybe he didn't clown ADM in the finals, but whatever. He wowed everybody more than ADM did.
I do. And ADM,
who are you?
Another friend of the show. He's like, he was a dude at that point because he had won, like, I think at 97.
Okay.
But he was regarded as one of the top, like, three freestylers at that time. I definitely remember. There's one. He had something. Maybe it was on, like, a Soul mix CD or something like that. There's one freestyle where it's him, Soul. This dude, ADM, did one of the illest freestyles I've ever fucking heard.
I'd like to hear that sometime.
And then he had a band called Glue. Yep. It was him, Maker, and DJ EQ.
Okay.
Their shows were always dope. Like, their recorded material was dope. But he was another dude, like, he would translate the freestyle skills into making the moment of the show awesome, too. Huh.
That's what you need to bring next time. Bring that freestyle so we can hear it.
Okay.
All right.
One of the cool ADM show memories, actually, just because it popped in my head when you talked about seeing him live, was like, getting, regardless of venue size, the crowd to walk around in a circle around him. And it was cool to see it, like, at Scribble Jam. I don't think I was there the year they did it, but I remember seeing it on DVD. And you got, like, 5,000 people or whatever Annie's can hold. Like, he's rapping on a wireless mic on a picnic table in the middle, and he gets people to start walking, like, counterclockwise.
Yeah.
And the whole fucking group, and, like, the camera shots are amazing. And then we were at a show where it was, like, honestly, it was kind of a turnout less than we expected. You know, it was like Cole was opening. I remember there might have been like 35, 40 people, maybe it was like 50. And it was even cool there.
So this is something I've been wanting to talk about too, and I feel like this segues into it, fabricated segues. You remember that a couple of weeks ago, friend of the show, longtime listener, Bailey, she messaged us saying, I went to a Wu-Tang show, it was really disappointing, and you know, her reasons for that, basically, like, not all the members that were supposed to be there were there. Contrast the Glue show that was just superseded expectations. What's a show that you've been to that let you down more than anything else that you've ever been to?
I saw AC Alone live.
Which one was it?
I was in, I think we were in Canada. I want to say we're in Toronto. And we saw AC Alone. And he was rhyming over vocal tracks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was when that project with RJD2 had just come out.
What was it? Electric's... Electric something no. City,
wasn't it Black or White or something like that?
No, it wasn't.
Well, Love and Hate was the
Love and Hate. That's the one.
Did RJD2 do that?
That was all.
No,
he also did the one that had the big single.
Yeah, there's a different one because the one that RJD2 did had the Man I'm Just So Disconnected was the single or one of the.
Man, I'm just so disconnected.
It was Love and Hate. So maybe RJD2 only did a couple tracks off that, but he was on tour with RJD2
and just letting you down.
He just rhymed over vocal tracks, and I don't think he did anything from Book of Human Language. So I was bummed out.
Yeah,
man.
I'm not even gonna bother writing that down. I'm so disappointed.
Magnificent City is the name of the full album that they have together.
Shit was a disappointment city. That's what that album was.
Chuck, what's your worst show besides this one?
I'm having trouble. You know, I was trying to think about that. I remember, honestly, Steve's going to hate this answer, but like Doom.
Don't say this.
Doom was kind of disappointing the one time I actually did get to see him.
Where was that?
At the Auto Bar. He came on. It was like, the bill was crazy. It was all over the place. It was like MF Doom, Raekwon, and like some other New York rapper.
Holy
fuck,
dude.
Like Lord Finesse or something. It was crazy.
Holy shit.
And no, it was El the Sensei. That's what it was. And I remember Raekwon, you know, he's doing a solo set, but he's kind of like just breathing heavy, killing the songs the best he can.
Yeah.
You still got to respect him doing it. And then Doom came out and like never took the mask off. You couldn't really hear it well through the mic. And it was just like,
yep.
Wow. All right.
Huh.
You remember the story about Doom that he was sending, and it just actually got verified. He'd have somebody in Boston, someone in San Francisco on the same night. And people like, I saw Doom last night. And then once the message board started to pop up, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. I mean, that just, you know, it's a persona. What's to say you can't be Doom, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's the Andy Kaufman aspect of it. That I was like, yeah. I like that part.
Yeah. The other part, you know, you're like, okay,
yeah,
it's clever.
If neither of them was you, I fuck with it more.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
You're just
clowning everybody.
Yep.
If you're just doing it for a money grab, I'm not sure.
But I can see that. Chuck, I've seen some performances online that have been a little bit disappointing from Doom, but I've also seen him kill it online at some places. But
yeah.
I got to see some... speaking of people putting the mask on and performing, there's a Droog show coming up.
Right. Is that the 25th?
What, are you talking about the New York one? September 3rd. Yeah. Steve, are you making the move up? Should we cover it for Chrome Bills?
I'm going to do my best to be up. What? Okay, so September 3rd.
It's like a Wednesday.
It's Labor Day weekend.
No, it's the Wednesday after Labor Day.
Okay. I'm going to see what I can do, man. Shit's crazy busy at work right now, but I'm going to see what I can do. I can do a half day.
Chuck, you're definitely going, right?
Yeah, I got two tickets, and I know if you were able to make the trip, de facto that my girl's going to go, but she'd easily be like, Steve. She's not like...
Would you do that or no?
No.
You wouldn't do a road trip with me to New York City.
That'd
back.
Be a tough day of the week to do.
Yeah. I kind of got to wrap... I got to wrap things up, but okay. I am...
Text me later. Tell me how serious you are about going up.
Okay.
Chuck. I feel like...
This is a nice piece to take us out with.
You part know? Of what's been keeping me going since you left has been shattered tonight, that you're not on the moon, that you're not that far away.
That you're not here with us, man.
Right.
3-hour train ride. You know, I could always just go 6 hours up and back for every episode, every week.
You know what I actually started doing to just in loving memory of Chuck and my relationship with him is I only smoke a half a pack of cigarettes, and then I give the other half to a small child. Fresh your luck.
Sorry, that was the wrong one. Worldwide, we known for that. That was supposed to be that one.
What can you tell us about your podcast? We wholeheartedly encourage young children to smoke cigarettes.
We could always just record it in Pittsburgh somewhere.
What do you mean? Oh, a halfway point?
Like, we'll just go, or Philly or some shit.
Okay. I'm down.
We'll just book a studio in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
What happens?
Or we could just...
What happens when Chromeville South meets Chromeville's North?
Yeah. Worlds collide. You gotta keep things separate.
Keep shit separate. But yo, thanks for...
Are we going to do the Artemis interview?
I don't know, man. I feel like we didn't bumper it at the beginning. So,
okay.
Let's tease that for coming up one of the next episodes, right?
Yeah, I feel like we need to properly promote that.
Took some time to hang out with the homie Artemis. He took some time to hang out with me, is how it should be looked at. Yo, you still mad I didn't bring beer? I'm sorry.
I'm a little salty.
Okay, that's reasonable.
Thank you. I'm not really mad. I just have, you know, I'm a smartass sometimes.
Your hair is...
Maybe my hair's messed up.
and like nobody notices it but you.
The hair in person. That's, when you said the thing that you've been coping with, like after I left and thinking that I'm on the moon. I've been coping with not seeing Steve's hair and not actually getting...
He asked my wife, he's like, let's talk about Steve's hair.
We had a little conversation.
Let me ask you this. Okay. When's the last time... I wonder if it's not the drinking that you're having withdrawals from. Uh-huh. Have you seen yourself in the last half hour? You need to get your fix.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
That is a good point.
I bet if you saw yourself right now, you'd be like, let's go another hour,
fellas. I will let you know this. I do have a comb in my desk at the office just in case I need to comb my hair in the middle of the day.
Okay. All right.
Well, what if someone bumps into you? You know, it could be... Could be Foghorn Leghorn coming up to give you a little shoulder rub, get your day going.
And I'm combing my hair.
No, he brushes your hair, and then you've got.
I'm not taking kindly to that. Yeah, that's not flying right now.
I don't take kindly to that.
Yeah, definitely not.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh shit.
Bacon backlash.
All right, Chuck. We're just going out on this tip.
Did we have any number 57s before we take off?
Heinz 57.
No athletes, though? No middle linebackers rocking that 5-7?
I remember Chris Martin was the lower linebacker for the Chiefs on Tecmo Super Bowl. Number 57.
That was good.
And I got nothing. Speed. I only know Giants players. All right. Chrome Bills 57, y'all. Thanks for listening.
Peace. Why is he laughing? Why are you laughing?